No. He hung out with little dead guys at NYU, and I was like the guitar guy. Mira and Savalowski were hanging out together in the basement. I'm going to get to know this guy. I start to have a conversation with him. Caruso, this guy's a cursor. No. Turns out he's one of the most dignified, special, unique people I've ever met. We're close to this day. I taught him a lot of talks. We used to have learning sessions in his office. Of course, he sort of got me through some of my courses. I'll talk about that. Yeah, you get the name. I'll give you the test. You don't have to hand in your paper. It's all right. It's all right. I was Clint Eastwood at YU in the 70s, Went in, hey, you were in college? You have 4,000 credits? You only here for a month. Yeah, you're not getting credits. Those are the running gun, root and tune days of YU, You're coming like a ghost. They call me the ghost to the post. No one was there, in, out, back to Israel. Got my degree, hanging on the wall. Now I think Shai knows the story. Shai's father and I were sitting in the YU-based matters one time. And like, I had this panic attack. Oh my goodness, we've been sitting learning for our, 10 minutes and why you were about to leave, whatever, like 10 minutes, for 2 years. About to go, maybe one of us will want to go to graduate school. I went to graduate school, but not that I need it. But sometimes in graduate school, you have a lot of things in your resumes. This club, that club, this activity, that internship, we had nothing. We started learning. So I turned to Shai's father and said, let's start the math club. It's a good idea. I said, I'll choose it. 2 out of 3. He's going to be president. So your father won. He was the prince. I was the vice prince. And we had one event. One event was on picture day. We had to take pictures of all the graduates. We had to get together and take a picture of the math club. He said, that was optical math. Optical
art. Is he still math?
I don't know. There on my resume, math club, vice president. Vice president. The president's guy, Billy, was a treasure. I don't even know. Some guy pulled over the street. Billy, were you a treasure? Sure, I get a beer out of it? Sure, okay, Billy will give you a beer. Okay, I'm just going to trust you. You can look at our yearbook to this day. So what was I talking about? Right, so my computer teacher got me through these courses pretty easily. I used to walk into his room. This was in 1985, before PCs. This is called the Unix system. Unix, the one running the C++. I walk in there, not a spot. Not like a museum. The table is clean, no papers, no dirt. All the information was on his computer. All neat, clean, organized. And he told me, the clean space, if your space is disorganized, you're distracted, you're looking, you're not integrated. A lot of times, basically, people ask me, how do you become creative and tired? If you're creative, partially, you've got to be organized. If you're organized, you also have to be at rest with yourself. The best thing you could do to become a real Talmid Chacham in this life, I know it's many, many years down the line, hopefully for most of you, is to have a quiet, good, and happy marriage. Some people are doomed to constant strife and fighting, tension, one else in chip, and I know once in a while my wife and I get into a little exchange, everyone gets into a little tiff here and there. I can't learn for a day. And I go through the motions, I give the shear, I pull something out of the freezer. Because I'm all disorganized. My heart's in three places. I'm thinking, I'm chewing, I'm steaming, I'm worrying, I'm thinking, apologizing, but I can't. Rav Hashem, this happens very infrequently. Give me a clean world. Fascinating book that anyone wants to read. Many of you guys like reading books. Anyone ever read a novelist, a woman novelist, on the turn of the century called Virginia Woolf? Probably read her in college. Not so popular in high school. A room you have one's own. That's your famous book. The less famous book, which is even better, is called In the Lighthouse. Incredible. But what's the theme? The theme of a room of one's own? That women couldn't be creative throughout history because they didn't have a space of their own. Women don't have space. Every man had a study. They went to a study to think, to create. Women had no space. They didn't have no, they're just, when I say space, I don't mean physical space, just mental space. Well, what's my job? To serve others, to nurse, to feed, to clean, to cook. I'm not rendering my judgment now. I'm just saying his opinion. Maybe women should be created. Maybe that's not the goal that I should ask for. I'm not cocking my position, but it's true. You don't have space, you can't be creative, right? I'm picking up things because I need to create. I can't You don't have the creativity to paper clips and paper shreds. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Tonight we're going to talk about the questions. We already know it's got to be part of history. Can't be Asa. You can't walk away, turn your back, close the door. You already know you got to follow the two arcs. Tisha B'Av is coming, guys. Guys, in this year, I'm expecting big things from you guys in Tisha B'Av. I really am. Because you guys, you 20 guys, are learning Tisha B'Av every single night. You don't need an intro to Tisha B'Av when Shabbos is what we're supposed to feel. You are looking straight down the barrel of Tisha B'Av. You know what it's called? Jewish history. Jewish history. I told the kids before, Charlie, you heard this already. I spoke to some British kids today. They asked me. A group of 120 British high schools that came to me. How can we cry for Beis HaMikdash? We don't really feel the loss. Right, guys? Silent vote. No one raise their hands, but raise your hands in your heart. How many of you really, really are ready to cry over Mikdash? How many of you feel like there's something missing in your life that you have? I mean, really. Gut-wrenching, really. Soul-churning, really. Mets losing the World Series type of pain, really. Put it into your jargon, right? That type of pain. I'm supposed to cry. It's a part of what I told them is cry after the Mikdash, cry for yourself. If I gave you this pill, I get a pill out of my pocket. There it is. You took this pill, you would sit and sob with Tisha B'Av in a real way. I sob. I wail. I really let it out, and it's real. You took this pill, you feel it. You'd feel pain. You'd suffer. You'd cry. I'm hoping that every one of you would pounce on this film. If you wouldn't, then I can't, not that I can't talk to you, but this, the rest of the state of this movie is. So you can't cry for the Mikdash, but cry for yourself. You can't cry for the Mikdash. That's authentic. God only wants authentic. He doesn't want anything fake. Nothing fake. God hates fake. All the Nevi'im remind us, don't you dare, don't worry from us one thing. You want to fake it, get out of my face. You come in all high and mighty, all saintly and pious, and the Mikdash with your kavanas in the back door, you're stabbing widows and stealing from poor people. Lamali Rosi Chachemim Marashem, Yeshaya says, Mi Bikesh Zos Miachem Mimos Chatzerai. I'll take anyone, I won't take a hypocrite, I won't take a faker. Don't ever be fake. Bring what you got and hope that it's enough. Don't fake, try to fake God out. Cry for yourself. You have a hard time crying for yourself. At least cry for Jewish history. You can't go back to 70 AD, go back to 1095. Crusades. You can't go back to 1095, go back to 1492. Inquisition. I told the guys earlier tonight, give you a little Tisha B'Av preps. When you walk through Spain, anyone here visit Spain? Oh, man, is it creepy. Poland doesn't creep me out. It doesn't weird me out. You know what? The Jews in Poland lived like mice. Poor as heck. Scattered little huts. Never given positions of wealth and affluence. They were like second-class citizens. And at a certain point, they weren't just second-class citizens, but they were sub-Aryan. Then at some point, they're sub-Aryans, they'd just be killed. I don't feel creeped out by Poland. You walk through Spain, man, it is creepy because the Jews... Man, you think America is a nice place to live as a Jew? You should have been in Spain. America makes Spain look like a federal prison. Jews had power. Jews had influence. Jews had wealth. They were the king's team. They were the king's select group. They were the princes of society. I mean, they were Washington. They were Hollywood. Wrapped up into one. Get it real. Washington, Hollywood, and Boston. Right? The three ethnic cultural centers, right? Now we say, Washington, what's the idol of Washington? What do people worship in Washington?
Politics.
What do people worship in New York?
Money.
What do people worship in Hollywood? Celebrity. And what do people worship in Boston? Intellect. Those are the four pagan shrines of the United States of America. You got no real life. Man, they worship the gods. You guys know better than I do. I am spooked out when I did LA. I mean, really. Not by your parents. Your parents are great. Some of the Jews I meet here, I am spooked out. yeah, man, I go to shul on Saturday, and then on Sunday I go meet Justin Timberlake to help him fill out his wardrobe. And I used to go to shul on Shabbos, and I'm going to the Laker game to sit next to whoever or Blitzy shows up in front of court. I am so weirded out, man. It is such a strange mix. Torah and surf. Coming at you. I feel better in New York. At least I can see the money a mile away. You know, people have no bones in New York. They really want money. Let's face it, right? And in Washington, man, they worship the holy power. The White House. Right? They are nominating, right? One of the candidates to run with McCain is who? Anyone read this?
A Jew.
It just so happens this Jew's nephew is coming to Bush next year.
Do you have
to take it? No. But I can't wait. I'm going to start deciding world politics. Hello, Eric. You want your son to get dinner tonight? There's this little thing called Iran. I'd like to see it disappear. The sooner the better. Speak to you tomorrow. Hello, Eric. I'm getting ready. Got my cell phone on speed dial. Just kidding. Man, Spain is creepy. Spain is creepy. Jews really had it made for 700 years. Guys have been living in America for, let's call it an even 200, more or less. Not even, not really. I mean, Jews really started coming to America, let's call it 1850, round figure. 1830, you want to make it even more around 180 years, more or less. Spain, man, six times as much, five times as much. And poof. I'm weirded out by walking through Spain. You can't go back to Spain in 1492. Go back to Poland in 1660. Half the Jewish population is routed during the Komnenski rebellions here. I learned about it in high school. Can't go back to Poland, go back to 1940 Germany, can't go back to 1940 Germany, go back to 1950 Stalin Russia, can't back to 1950 Stalin Russia, go back to 1975 Arafat, go back to Arafat, or 90. Sometimes people ask me, how do I know this is Gula? No, I know this is Gula because at the end things move faster. Right? Any television show you watch, the end moves quickly, right? Got to tie up loose ends. It's the end, guys. Move fast. What do we say in Pesach night? B'chol dar v'dar, only the Malayim and the Chalo Seinu. Everyone gets up. It used to be a door was 50 years. 50 years, 100 years. And now a door used to be, then it became 20 years. And from Lenin to Hitler, and then it started to become less and less. And now it's 5 years. 5 years ago, you know the big threat was to Israel? Achmanijah, some monkey jumping around from a tree in Iran. You know the real threat we were afraid of 5 years ago? You guys know? No. Saddam Hussein, as you Americans like to call him. Saddam Hussein. I was taping up my room, getting gas masks. My kids were walking home with gas masks. The biggest nace in the last 15 years. I told you guys, the United States, such a bright and educated country, could elect such an idiot like George Bush. Twice. Why is it a nice? Because this is a very confused world. Everything is relative. A suicide bomber is not really a terrorist. He's just seeing the world from his vantage point of good and evil. Rob, there's no such thing as good and evil. It's just a question of your perspective, they'll tell you in Harvard. And they'll invite terrorists and murderers and serial bombers to go speak from the podium. And Hashem said, you know what? I need a president who's too stupid to know all the sophisticated junk about good and evil. He knows there's something called good and there's something called evil. And there's no two ways about it. And if you're good, you're fine. If you're evil, I'm going to bomb you to kingdom come. Bush is an ace. Bush is a sinner of the divine direction. I mean, I say such a smart country. It's incredible. Baruch Hashem, 2000, a couple of old bubbies got their ballots from only Florida. Unless you would have had Gore. Had too much kishkin, too much pachal over Shabbos. You guys know that pachal thing. It gives you arteries, it makes it crazy. And they were like, you know, folding and moving. They thought they were out in the shuffle bowl of court. And thank God, man, Bush and not Gore. The worst thing we've heard about the Jewish vice president is also making hakiras about whether Iran is good or not. They got Russia there, knock their socks off, bomb on the throne. And now it's Ahmadinejad, they promised him in 5 years it'll be someone else. Ahmadinejad will be wiped off the face of the earth. So where were we, guys? Right, I expect big things from you guys on Tisha B'Av. Cry for yourself if you can't cry for a building. If you can't travel back 1900 years, at least travel back 60 years. If you can't do that, travel back 10 years or 40 years, or travel back 3 weeks to Regev and Goldwasser and cry for them. Whatever it takes to make you cry, real tears cry. I promise you, your entire Tisha B'Av is about Regev and Goldwasser, and you feel what those families went through that day of absolute unimaginable trauma, that will be a real Tisha B'Av, and Hashem will take it. You don't have to think about stones or fire or forbados or romance. Think about two families spending 2 years hoping to see their children and their husbands and receiving coffins. A day that was supposed to be sasan de simcha turns into a day of yagon buffet. And then give that to Hashem as your Tisha B'Av. You guys expect to be the champions of Tisha B'Av. It's an important day. It really is. I know it's hard, it's hot, it's summer, you dread it. And after Tisha B'Av, you feel that big, oh, thank God, another year until Tisha B'Av. I have to go through this again. I'm not going to exactly say that it has to disappear. It's all right. Yom Kippur, I want it to disappear. Yom Kippur is the best day of the year. I don't want you to walk away, another year to Yom Kippur. No. Yom Kippur, you should wait for. Because Yom Kippur is a taste of Olam Haba. Every day in Olam Haba is Yom Kippur. You won't need food. You won't need drinks. You won't need seats. You won't need sleep. You won't need showers. You won't need anything. It'll just be your spirit. And we are stuck in this world. And it's a prison. This is a prison. I'm dying to get out. It's a prison. My soul is stuck. And once the Hashem says, get out of it. Get out of that prison. Walk away. Yom Kippur is not about eating and drinking. It's about walking away. Walking away from everything that holds you down. Rav Lichtenstein doesn't sleep Yom Kippur night. 75 years old, doesn't sleep. Doesn't sit the whole Yom Kippur day. I wish I could be like that. That's the real thing. You know what I mean, Yom Kippur? You guys want to store something away? Trust me on this one. This will make you Yom Kippur. You know what I do when I walk into shul? It's the greatest discovery. I walk into shul, I put on my kittel, I put on my talents, and you know what I do? Watch me. See? Because I don't want to spend my whole Yom Kippur. Okay, 3 hours passed. 72.6% done. 22.7% still going. 4/6 done. 2/6 left. 16 hours finished. 8.5 hours left. Come on, guys. Start smiling. It's in there, right? See, Darren's eyes. Right? Come on, Sean. You do the numbers game. And why? These are handcuffs. I'm not going to have watches in all night. We have time forever. You don't need watches. And he used to say about Timex takes a lick and keeps on ticking. We don't need watches. Keep on ticking. Keep on trying. If you want to be in all night, you're trying to handcuff yourself to all of my set. Why don't I want to watch today? You know my sin that I've had a successful Yom Kippur? If the following murmur passes through my heart, I know I've done it. But I feel, and I mean truly, as that Mr. Baruch Hu, why can't this go on forever? If I really, really feel that, as Hashem, if I can have my way, that pill I talked about, I want this, you, right here, nothing else. I want this life. I built myself to that stage. I've walked away from food. I have no care. I'm not jealous anymore of people. I'm not petty. I'm not sitting looking over like that. I'm pure. I'm here. Why can't this night go on forever? I wish. My saddest part, when Yom Kippur's over, I feel like I'm kind of falling down from heaven. I can't wait until it starts again. That's a sign of religious maturity to me. You look for a sign to know you're not a kid anymore? When Yom Kippur stops being a threat that you dread and becomes something you look forward to. Start this year, guys. Tisha B'Av, I don't look forward to. I don't think you should look forward to. Once it's here, I try to put my tachas into it. I try to prepare for it. So 9 days, I can best prepare. I don't say, oh, I can't wait for Tisha B'Av. I don't think that's a good thing. guys all went to fancy schmancy co-ed camps, right? We went to Mar Masha, Mar Shaba. I was a simple yeshiva shagah. I went to Camp Monk. You guys went to Camp Monk? Right. I went to Camp Monk. We were monkeys. We were the monkeys. We played Camp Torah Badas. We didn't play these fancy schmancy tap dancers in Mar Masha, or these, you know, fancy schmancy birdies from Mar Shaba tapping around the court. We got into it. The yeshiva shalik. You guys go to DRS? You guys step on the court with Rabbi Kramer? We're on the same team, man. We could bring it. We had some bling to us. They're serious players. I was on his team, man. Nothing stopped us. Camp Monk. They tried to get us into Tisha B'Av. Did a really good job. But the kids, you know, kids are going to laugh. I remember always, when Tisha B'Av falls out during the week, so you sit quietly on the side, you have your egg and your bread and your ashes, and prepare. But you know what happened when Tisha B'Av fell out on Sunday, like it does this year, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, and it falls out on Sunday a lot, because either it falls out really on Sunday, or it falls on Shabbos, and you push it to Sunday, so it's a lot of times. You don't have an egg meal, you have some regular shalosh shittis, you don't have an egg meal on Shabbos, no avelos. You have a big sedash shalosh, and you're eating your stuff, and you're eating your stuff, and eating your stuff, and eating your stuff. The Tisha B'Av starts. So remember the head counselor, remember the monk head counselor was a Rebbe. You don't have any of those head counselors, you know, Michigan. I was a Rebbe. He used to get up and say, 10 minutes till Tisha B'Av. And we all go to the water fountains. There's like this big bank of water. You know, when you're still young, you try to think, if I eat more, then I'll, you know, fast. You don't realize you're going to explode like a fat pig. 5 minutes till Tisha B'Av. 4 minutes till Tisha B'Av. Faster, faster, go faster. A minute to Tisha B'Av. And then it announced, 10 seconds till Tisha B'Av. Bloom, 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 bloom. We'd all start counting. 9, 8, 5, 4. Okay, 4 and 13. 2, 1. Tisha B'Av. It's all crazy, right? And then it just went on. Every time Tisha B'Av starts, I cannot think about camera. Tisha B'Av. Don't do that, Mr. Tishai. 5, 4. Just eat whatever you think you can eat. You know, put it in. You're not going to fast better if you have 2 tons or 10 and a half. You know, you got enough food in there. So I'm expecting big things from you guys on Tisha B'Av, because this is a course on Tisha B'Av and everything. But this is where our Jewish historians, and I'm a Jewish historian, to sit in rooms and think about it. People who live Jewish history, this is where you shine. Because you can really relate. So let's continue to shine. Take a look tonight, see what we're going to talk about. Let's skip the next year to get back to it. The door of history. It's one of the later shiurim. We'll start with it. This is going to be a two-part shiur, guys. We're running out of time. So we're going to start now, and we're going to continue tomorrow night, which means I expect, Mr. David Gottesman, I expect everyone here tomorrow night. For sure?
Yeah, there is.
Tomorrow night, not Wednesday. Really?
Yeah.
So there's no shiur tomorrow night? Both sessions?
That's what we're going
to go. Okay, I'll find out. Whatever the next shiur is, I expect everyone here. Okay? I'll find out. Maybe they switch Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay, I thought it was Tuesday. Now Wednesday, you heard Wednesday, yes, sure, not Tuesday. Okay, so maybe I'll let it say. I got this schedule like 6 months ago. Okay. A lot of questions, guys. A lot of questions about this process of people. Because there's so many questions, so many Jews say, you know what, it ain't doing. We're still in Poland. We're not in Poland, we're in Brooklyn. We're not in Hungary, we're in Daybrook. We're not in Russia, we're there. But nothing's really changed. The duties we had then, we have now, really nothing else. It's all the Karagin thing, you know, 2 arcs, 2 mountains, Gula. Yeah, it's a bunch of that problem. Because, what's their point? If this is what we now did, this is what God's Gula, then are you kidding me? Herzl. Ben Gurion. Shimon Peres, that's your, those are your leaders. Those are God's shluchim. Those are God's agents.
It's one thing.
And God has said, the Chafetz Chaim leaders back there. So,
okay,
that I can see. That's Gula. Chafetz Chaim marching in front of thousands of Jews, leading with that Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's Gula. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shai and said the Chazon Ish. Okay, that's Gula. Let's say Moshe Feinstein had taken us back, and all the Jews from the Lower East Side, father of Moshe Feinstein, and all the Jews from Lakewood walk after an iron cutler, and all the Jews from Panovich walk after Afghanim, and everyone. Right, this was Gadol week, right? You went to see some Gedolim. Okay, the Gedolim, okay, but secular Jews, they don't put on tefillin, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep Kashrus, they don't do mitzvahs. What are you kidding? This is Gula? What are you talking about? That's Gula? Come on. This ain't cool. Look at the people leading us. That ain't cool. And therefore, this is not something we're going to be part of. Okay, I think. What's your answer? I don't mean your answer. What's our answer? You think it's cool? Prove it. Back it up. Let's just get up and shmuel. Murmur. Ratios to be chazkul l'seinu. Ratios to be here. Okay, it's ratios to be chazkul l'seinu. That's Hashem's ratios to be chazkul l'seinu. People don't keep mitzvahs. Prime ministers, they don't keep Shabbos. It was a very special story. A lot of times, Shimon Peres takes a lot of flack from people. Shimon Peres made a tremendous kiddush Hashem this week. Shimon Peres doesn't keep Shabbos. But he will not violate Shabbos in any public situation. As a representative of the State of Israel, he will not participate in any event that's Chil Shabbos. We'll talk about things like that a little bit later, maybe the end of the Thursday. People in Beijing wanted Shimon Peres to officiate at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. He's a very popular diplomat in China. He's been responsible for all sorts of initiatives in Iraq, all sorts of important things. They wanted to march at the opening of the Olympics. He said, well, because it's Chil Shabbos. But what do you mean, Shimon? This is billions of people around the world are watching. Like, what's the problem? No, it's not the march. You know what the Chinese did? Only in China. They built a hotel within the stadium where the Olympics were taking place, like in the park. They built the hotel for Shimon Peres. They built a hotel, not a tent. They built a deluxe hotel so Shimon Peres could stay and then walk to the stadium on Shabbos and march around. Tremendous kiddush Hashem. Tremendous kiddush Hashem. Can't always judge people quickly. Work the balance. But okay! Kiddush Hashem, great. Does a guy put on the floor and everything? No. Is he makbid on kashrus? No. I'm not talking about Goliath. not makbid on kashrus. At least invisible. Did he come to Etzias White Kol and learn night seder? No. So, let's get it. What's your answer to these guys? You want it to be you alone? Prove it to yourself. Question. What are our answers? Remember the password. Before we get into Google and use the password, let's go surfing a little bit in Jewish history. Let's see what Google really is and really isn't. And let's start from the beginning. You lost me, sorry. Source number one on the shiur called The Door of History. When Yetzias Mitzrayim is described in Sefer Bereishis, Hashem has absolutely no expectations of the Jewish people. I will come. I will redeem you. I will descend into Egypt and smite the Egyptians and sweep you off your feet into the desert of your faith. You have one and only one job, and that's to run. Mashene, acharecha nerutza. I pull, you come. I push, you say how high. After all, David, we're just a little people. We've been backbroken by slavery and persecution. What can we really do? Hashem says, don't worry. I'll do it all. V'asa Eschem, who knows the Pasuk in Yisro? Okay, finish the Pasuk. V'asa Eschem al country Nisharim Bavias Hamelai. I'll carry you on the backs of eagles and bring you to me. You do nothing. I'll pick you up, those eagle claws, and I'll pick you up. Rise with me. You do nothing but rise. But Yechezkel, after Yechezkel, brings a whole different set of expectations. Of Neil, Yechezkel is a little bit different. Let's see Yechezkel. Yechezkel Parashat, Shlomo describes the exact same events. Yaakov, the exact same events, but different parameters. By Yomahu, source number one, Nasasi Yadi Lohen Leotziam Be'eretz Mitzrayim, I decided to take them out of Egypt. El Eretz Asher Tarti, Ari, out of the land that I want to bring them to. And Hashem says, Yaakov Ish, she could say no Hashlichu, line number three, V'gulei Mitzrayim Al Titamao. Listen to me carefully, Hashem says. Guys, listen to me. Take the first step. The Lord only redeems. Who can finish that line?
You redeem yourself.
Excellent. Sometimes I'm sitting out with a guy on the machine of the bush. And the guy will turn to me and say, Rabbi Tarakan, what's the best way I can prepare for bush? What should I do? You know what I tell them? Every time, every day, every interview. Pick one part of your religion and work at it and improve it before you get to Israel. So many high school kids are in a holding pattern in high school. Yeah, I want to do it, but I'll wait till Israel to do it. And if you wait for Yeshivas to do it for you, you'll never know it. There's great boldness and great courage and initiative. Take that one part and do it before you get to Yeshiva. I don't care what it is. Extra Seder? Great. Better minyan attendance? Great. Less Lashon Hara? Great. More Tzedaka? Great. More Kibbutz Avayim? Great. I don't care what it is. I'm not interested with this Bava Kama or better Kibbutz Avayim. Just start working at religions before you come. Redeem yourself. Don't wait for people ever, ever to solve problems for you. That is a cowardly way to live. Sometimes guys come to me and complain, why this, why that, why don't we have rabbis that are more like this? All our rabbis are chavedim and yeshivas, and why don't we have more rabbis that are like this? You know what I tell kids? If it bothers you enough to complain about, then it better bother you enough to do something about it. And until you have the guts to do something about it, I don't want to hear complaints. Because he's just some lazy couch complainer. It bothers you? Then what are you going to do about it? I know what I did about it. I know when I was your age and I walked into Gush and I didn't want to be a Rebbe. I don't want to be here in this white kollel 2008 teaching at night. I was going to be a dentist, whatever. I looked at my world and I said, we have a lot of Torah personalities, a lot of Rebbeim, but there aren't enough, in my opinion, of a certain Ashkaf. There's one Ashkaf that beats them all. There may be people that are Dati Lumi and also Rebbeim. Because some people need that voice, some people need that Ashkaf, some people need that world. So I just talk the talk, I walk in, I'm going to give my life to it. You don't have to make that commitment, but then stop complaining. Because it's cowardice. Make your choices, but then don't complain. If you're busy complaining, then clean up the mess. If you're not willing to clean up the mess, then don't complain about it. That's what Hashem says. You want to be redeemed? Redeem yourself. Walk away. You got pagans in your house? You got acquired Egyptian culture? You want to be redeemed? I'm not asking you to kill the Egyptians. I'm asking you to break your shackles. I'm not asking you to fly in heavenly clouds. I'm just asking, take the first step. Do something. And of course, people are lazy. And we'll respond. Line number three, line number four, Pasach Ches, Yecheskel, Parachak. You see, guys, you read Yecheskel, you get a whole different view, a whole different perspective. Vayam Rabbi, we rebel. Lo'avulishmoila, we didn't want to listen. Yeshua, she could say him, Lo'ishlicha, we didn't throw away the idols. Gideon said, Lo'avasavo, life's pleasant. Life is always pleasant, even when you're a slave. People are so afraid of the unknown, they cling. They cling ferociously to the known, as terrible and pathetic as it is. You'd be surprised how afraid people are of change, how afraid people are of chances, and how they just lock themselves into pathetic situations because it's the known and the certain. They can't get past the fear. They can't make change. One of the most important traits you can develop is the ability to take change, take steps, and believe people, and jump across those chasms of doubt. If you're always standing on the side of a mountain, you're never able to walk across it, you will be mediocre. You will be stuck in place. These are the years of your decisions, and there are all sorts of people that will scare you and prevent fear. Remember, courage is not the denial of fear. Courage is the ability to operate under its influence. You will not subdue it. You just can't be paralyzed. You walk with fear, and you'll live with it, and you get past it. And you find people you can trust and say, you know what, it'll work out. I'll handle it. I'm up to it. That's what Hashem wants. And they could. And now tell me, guys, line number five. What was Hashem's response to the end of the line? You guys know this passage. You've seen it before. You tell me what you've seen it before, guys. I wanted to destroy them. What do those words sound like? When do we say Shvach HaMasana? That's like, no, who are we directed to? Goyim. When Yechezkel, the first time this phrase is employed, who is it directed against? Not the Goyim. Who wanted to destroy whom? Hashem wanted to destroy us. Hashem wanted to destroy us. That's it. Finished. Finito. Adios. Sayonara. See you later. Mañana. Joinity. Why don't you just drop us right there? What could possibly have convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were worth it? Redeem us as pagan cowards in Egypt. You know why? Vas Laman Shmi, line number six. Nevot Yachel and Nevot Yachel. Josh, so much energy had been invested in spreading the content of a monotheistic, unseen, invisible God, and we were the ambassadors of that message. Avram spread it to the locals, to people in Hebron. Somebody going to Hebron tomorrow? Yeah. The original visit of Avram to Hebron, what did they call Avram? Nasi? Finish the pasuk. Nasi? Elohim? They know it! Avram spread it! They were beginning to pick up on it after years and years in which we planted sea monsters, seasons, trees, waters. They began to dream of a God you couldn't see. And Yitzchak spread it to the coast. Yitzchak meets Abimelech, and he sees something. It's a sign of confidence. Become part of the sea of message. And where did Yaakov spread it? Who began to realize the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yaakov? He didn't spread it to the coast. Yitzchak already covered that region. He didn't spread it on the hills of Hebron or Rishon Tzion, because Abimelech covered that. Where did Yaakov spread the gospel? To the north. To Laban. To his part. To Iran, to Iraq, to Syria. 22 years, and Laban finally realizes, and when Hashem comes to Laban in a dream, he knows what he's talking to. But there was one culture that hadn't picked up the trail yet. Which culture was that? Mitzrayim, because Avram fails. Parshas Lech Lecha goes down to Mitzrayim, big talker, big plans, going to show the Egyptians this new God, this new mission. Yeah, take a hike. Take a hike. Leave as fast as you can. They pissed the window on the way out. And it wasn't just a culture, it was the culture. It was the cradle of civilization. And Am Yisrael to bear its message. And at this point, Benny, eliminating the Jewish people would have sent history back hundreds of years. And that, my friends, is called a Chil Hashem. The regression of Hashem's presence in this world is a Chil Hashem. Say, Cheskel reminds us, I did not redeem you for you. I redeemed you for me. But actually, what did we say in Hallel? We said it 2 days ago. Lalano. Who can finish the pasuk in Hallel? Lalano. Shem. Lalano. Kiim. Hashimcha. Ten kavod. What did we say in the Makenu? Asay lemancha. Im lo lemanenu. Asay lemancha. Because what happens to Jews reflects upon Hashem's presence. And everyone to listen. We have 7 minutes. We're going to make a mad dash tomorrow because we have to finish this. It happened 3,000 years ago, and it happened 60 years ago. 1940 to 1945, was the single greatest Chilul Hashem since the Churban Beis Hamikdash.
2,000 years of suffering, 2,000 years of pogroms, 2,000 years of inquisitions, 2,000 years of zeros, 2,000 years of heart of the face, 2,000 years of Asar HaRogei Malchus. None of it holds a candle. None of it to the systematic elimination of anything and everything Jewish in the streets of Europe. I don't have time to play games with you guys. So I'll tell you straight in front of you. 1095, Crusades march through Germany and France on their way to Yerushalayim. They murder three Jewish towns, Magens, Spires, and Worms. And we say three kingdoms in those three towns, and you'll say them in a week. How many Jews died in that spring of 1095? 100. 100! And we say three kinas about that, and we cry our eyes out. What can any person think about Auschwitz with 15,000 Jews cremated per hour? Per hour! And that wasn't just an assault on themselves, it was an assault on each other. And the Chilul Hashem of that magnitude in 1945 required a Kiddush Hashem. I won't say the equal magnitude because the Holocaust is too large for anyone to capture. Don't, if you hear someone trying to tell you the reason for the Holocaust, walk out of that room. It's too beyond, it's too mysterious, it's too overwhelming. I can't say it's an equal Kiddush Hashem, but something. Something in response to Chilul Hashem 45. Something! V'as l'man shmi! Hashem had to do it! Whether we deserved it or not! Whether the Chafetz Chaim was ready or Theodor Herzl was ready! L'man shmi. I remember 5 or 6 years ago, Israeli Air Force was invited to participate in war games in the Polish city of Radom, R-A-D-O-N. And the squadron commander said, we'll only fly and participate in the war games if we are first allowed a historic symbolic fly over Auschwitz. Train tracks that are witnessed such horror and dehumanization. And at first the Polish parliament was up in arms. Auschwitz is a cultural site, it's a historical site. We can't introduce armaments of war. Blah, 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 yada, yada. An Israeli squadron leader was resolute. He was a Sephardi whose family wasn't even exposed to the Holocaust. He said Jewish chests will fly in the dawn, only their first fly in Auschwitz. And on that day, as an emissary of Jewish leaders stood on those tracks that had witnessed such horror, that had witnessed such demonization, splitting of families, murdering of Jews, shaving of hair, stealing of shoes, broken spirits and broken history, holding flags and singing a tikva. This colonel pulled his team into formation in the skies above, his team of jets about to fly into that swoop. And he announced over his radio. Gicha. Gicha. Gimel Yud Chet He means a flyover, a sortie. Gicha Achat Avuram Yisrael. One flight for Jewish people. Gicha Achat Avur Eretz Yisrael. One flight for Eretz Yisrael. Gicha Achat Avur Korbanot HaShalom. One flight for Holocaust victims whose ashes still murmur in the pools of Auschwitz below. You can see them because the ground will not swallow. The ground will not help the Germans in their task. And when I heard him say that, I couldn't help think, how desperate were we in 1944 for that one flight? How desperately did we plead with Roosevelt and Churchill for one flight? One gicha. Do you know that in the spring of 1944, the skies of Europe were in complete Allied control? There was no Luftwaffe. They had been completely eliminated. How many tons of bombs were dropped on Europe in World War II? I can't even imagine how many megatons. And we pleaded, please, one uncontested mission, one bomb over one train tracks in the spring of 1944, one bomb over one set of train tracks leading to Auschwitz would have saved 750,000 Hungarian Jews who were deported in the spring and the summer of 1944 to Auschwitz for extermination. Without train tracks, no place to deport them, and they survived the war. But in 1944, 750,000 Jewish lives were not worth one uncontested flight. And I can't imagine a Chilul Hashem greater than that. I just can't. I can't imagine. 750,000 Jewish lives in that one flight. And here I was. About 55 years later, this occurred about 60 years later. Here I was living in Yechezkel. 1944, the Chilul Hashem, we don't have a flight.
2004. And I realized Hashem gave us this country to glorify His name, so that we could take those flights. It's not just the flights. It's who we are as a people. What we've been able to build in 60 years. What it compares, don't compare us to the United States of America. It compares to Honduras and Salvador and Algeria. We're still stuck in the mud, and we have an economy and a democracy. It's not a great democracy, but it's the best we've come up with. Economic superpower and high tech and leader, and the whole world revolves around us. And what happened 2 weeks ago was a Kiddush Hashem, as painful as it was. As painful as it was. Watching barbarians in the north celebrate children's murderers as heroes. And the dignity we show to human life, even at such painful, painful cost of giving up terrorists and allowing them to trample and dance over graves. But that's who we are. And that's who we'll be. And we do it for Hashem. And that's your first answer. Did we deserve to be redeemed 60 years ago? Were these the great leaders that we've been waiting for? No. But you know what? It wasn't any different in Mitzrayim. The leadership was obviously different. It's Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. But the state of affairs and the deservedness of the Jewish people. Next time, you'll want to think about Geulah, Eretz Yisrael. Just open up your Yechezkel or open up this booklet, source number one. And there you have your first model of Jewish people. Tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever it is, we'll find out. I'm sure you guys know. It sounds like it's Wednesday. We'll see a few more models. Okay? Thank you very much. Good night. Good night. Good night, Rob. Good night, Benny. How's the Mishnah going? What's Sandy up to?
Hi, Shem.
You guys know that one.